Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
You've been there. I have too. In fact, pretty much everyone has. When you're down, it's hard to function at your best. Things don't look normal, and you can't quite get your bearings. Things may not be going as you expected, or maybe you've had a disappointment, possibly a piercing loss. Perhaps you lack energy from carrying your load a long time. Often, there's a pileup of things. Stuff is going on in your heart and in your world. Regardless, you need to manage stuff. All of it. However, it's not those things alone that get you down. Something else is going on, and you can't quite put your finger on it. Matter of fact, if you could put your finger on it, you'd know better how to address it. So it's tricky to be your best when you're down. Today we're going to tear into when you're down. But first, I suggest check out our initial content that launched Scripture Dissection Materials. It's called Tear Into It. That episode explains how and why we introduce scripture dissection exercises periodically. Today, we explore what to do when you're down. We will use two scriptures, one from Colossians, the other from Jeremiah. There are always four categories we explore in scripture dissection. First of all, what does it say? Then, what does it mean? Third, make it personal. And fourth, make a commitment. Let's start with what does it say? In this content, we're going to take a look at Colossians 2, verse 17b. Here are several translations. Reality is Christ. That's from the NET. Next one. What is real is found in Christ, from the NIRV. Next one. Reality, however, is found in Christ, from the NIV. And the final one, the substance, or the reality of what is foreshadowed, belongs to Christ, and that's from the Amplified. What are those again? Reality is Christ. What is real is found in Christ. Reality, however, is found in Christ. The substance, the reality of what is foreshadowed, belongs to Christ. So what is this verse saying? Well, there's good news and there's other news. Let's start with other news. Incidentally, for some reason, we get ideas that life should be a certain way. However, many days it's just not that way. This is the other news, not necessarily bad news. Since we live in a broken world, things are no longer perfect like they were when God created our world. People let you down. Loss invades your life. Someone betrays you. You get sick or injured. The responsibilities never end. Plus, well, life is hard. Thankfully, there's also good news, even in this broken life. Interestingly, this is true whether or not you feel good. Your feelings should not and do not define life. Reality defines life, and reality is in Christ. That's what this verse says. Reality is in Christ. How encouraging! So what should you do with this information? Now let's move on to what does it mean. We're going to talk about two helpful ideas. Before we actually answer what does it mean, let's look at a few helpful ideas. Interestingly, these ideas are about you and your life, Plus, they are ideas God has about you. The first one is this. Before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. You have value. The second idea, before you were born, God consecrated or appointed you to have a purposeful life. So you have purpose. You have value and purpose. Subsequently, from those ideas right out of Jeremiah 1 verse 5, you can know two things without a doubt. Let's explore them just a bit more. First of all, your life has value. You are precious. Think of it. You were in the very heart and mind of God before you were formed inside your mommy's tummy. In other words, God knew you before you were you. He created you and pronounced value over your life. All right, let's explore a little more about the fact that your life has purpose in this world. Think of it. Yes, before you could even comprehend anything, before you were born, God already designed great purpose for your life. Remarkably, this is God's assessment, not others. Plus, it's His intention for your life. Even more, He wants you to have purpose in this broken world. Ultimately, you are part of God's redemptive efforts for our world and its people, and for you. So accept and embrace the value and the purpose that He's created you with. This is reality in Christ. Now let's make it personal. Let's go back to when you're down. Now that we've established the value and purpose your life has, whether or not you feel good, it's time to say something simple. You need to remember this. Yes, even when you're down. That simple thing is to answer the question we asked earlier when we said reality is found in Christ. And what was the question? So, what should you do with this information? In actuality, the truth that reality is found in Christ should shape and change everything in your daily life. Why would that be? Well, interestingly, because God's words matter. In fact, His words represent reality. All creation is here simply because God spoke it into being. In other words, His words. Reality comes from God's mouth, His words. If you're going to live a healthy life in reality and not some made-up fantasy or wishful thinking, it makes sense to embrace God's words increasingly in your daily living, even in the details. Interestingly, there's logical progression to how God's words affect your life. Plus, this progression affects how your life affects others around you. Let's start with the logical progression of God's words. We discussed that God's words matter. Essentially, reality and eternity are anchored in His words. Consequently, we ought to both agree with and apply His words. Incidentally, God has also called or appointed you to live in the flow of His words. After all, His words bring out your value and purpose. Plus, they give you the privilege of helping others connect with their own value and purpose. None of this is based on feelings. Rather, it's based on reality in Christ. Now, let's flip to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 through 17 to see the logical progression of God's words. Number 1. First, God wants you to speak His word through your choices and sometimes with words. But you might respond, "I don't know how to speak," which is verse 6. That's what Jeremiah said. Okay, the second point. Whatever God commands, that is what you should speak, which is verse 7. So, what does He want me to say or do? Third point. God says, "I will put my words in your mouth and life." That's verse 9. Whatever, you may wonder, does that look like? Number 4. After I put my words in your mouth, you will know how to live. But, you may protest, you don't know me. Number 5. God watches over His words to carry them out, to fulfill them, after they are spoken. That's verse 12. So, you suddenly realize, you plan to do this in me and through me. I don't have to do it by myself. And then the final point, number 6, is say everything I tell you to and don't be afraid, which is verse 17. Wow! Value, purpose, and no fear. Let's look at why God's words are critical. Take a look around. There are two consequential things going on. Number 1, people have forsaken God. And number 2, people worship the work of their own hands. Both of those points are in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 16. Interestingly, these are two modern-day sins. Sometimes they reflect what you've done. Other times they reflect the impact on you of what others have done. So let's flip to God's promises. God's words give you power. Additionally, they give you influence. Well, why is that? Because God's words bring hope. And because of hope, you have power and influence. But remember, you're down. How do you change your reality to be in Christ when you're down? It's time to claim God's promises and live in His words even when you are down. Thankfully, His words lift you up as you believe them, obey them, and apply them. Essentially, God's words are your ticket out of being down. God promises 3 things. Number 1, to make you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall against whatever threatens your well-being. Wow, that's from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 18. The second thing He promises is that threats that bring you down will not overcome you. Jeremiah 1, verse 19. And the third thing He promises is that He will stay with you and rescue you in His timing. He will keep His promises. That is also from Jeremiah 1, verse 19. Those are amazing promises. Let's go through them again. The first one, He will make you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall against whatever threatens your well-being. Second, threats that bring you down will not overcome you. And third, He'll stay with you and rescue you in His timing. He will keep His promises. As you embrace these promises, you establish a platform for action steps when you're down. Okay, we're going to move on to the fourth category we always talk about in Scripture Dissection: make a commitment. We're going to talk about some action steps that you can take even when you're down. Since God promises to help in the previous 3 ways that we went over, it's now your turn. Respond to His promises. In other words, take Him literally. Now, some simple action steps that might help. In our library of episodes, we have an article. It's entitled GSGSR. There are dashes between each of those letters. That's the title. It's kind of different. But it's packed with excellent action steps. For this content today, we'll just define these five ideas, the nutshell of what to do when you're down, and the psalmist's life proves it. Let's start with those letters, GSGSR. The first one, G, is to give thanks. Second, S, sing to God from your heart. Third, G, glory in His name. Fourth, S, seek His face. The fifth thing is R, remember the wonders He's done, the miracles and judgments He's pronounced. That little acronym has stuck with me and really helped me when I have felt down. GSGSR. Give thanks. Sing to God from your heart. Glory in His name. Seek His face. And remember the wonders He's done, the miracles and judgments that He has pronounced. I urge you to check that episode out. GSGSR. There's dashes in between all those letters. Seriously, these concepts have really helped to transform my life. I can't count how many times I've used this acronym to pull me up when I'm down. God's words have power and hope. Here are some application thoughts and questions over today's material. Number one, are you down now? Number two, have you established your reality in Christ? Three, do you believe your life has value? Four, do you know your life purpose? Sometimes it shifts as life goes on. Number five, are you implementing God's words in your life, starting in your heart? Six, have you decided to live by God's words rather than your feelings? Sometimes feelings don't shift for a long time, but just persevere as they shift. And number seven, how will you practice GSGSR? I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.